This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
One briefcase. One moment. Could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons. Two hosts, couple of producers, each of which presenting their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. And we will decide by the end which one of our three-point stances is the league leader and which one is circling the drain, because it's time for our league leaders and who's circling the drain. Presented by Drains by James. Drains by James is Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. I give a poop about Andy's three-point stance. Andy, you get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready?
I absolutely am.
All right, here is 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Dan Ball, I know you were paying attention because you were filling in and doing daily radio here on the afternoons, but the Celtics are playing good basketball, third in the East. They are only 3.5 games behind the number one seed, only a half game behind the number two seed of the Knicks. And one of their players is playing elite basketball. His name would be Jaylen Brown. If you look in the stat leaders in terms of scoring in the National Basketball Association, you'll see there's only three names ahead of Jaylen Brown. He is fourth in scoring, 30.1 points per game. He is coming off a 50-burger. He added his name to the list of candidates from the Celtics' history that have scored 50 points. It's the likes of Jason Tatum, Larry Bird, all the truly Paul Pierce and company, the truly elite players. And then Jaylen Brown said after that Clippers win, "I think I'm the best two-way player in basketball." Guess what? I agree. I think he intentionally had a great game because he wanted to show off for Kawhi Leonard. A couple days before the game, he had been talking about the best two-way players he remembers, and he said Kawhi Leonard was in that conversation. Then he called Joe Mazzulla and said, "Joe, I want to take Kawhi one-on-one." He went out, defended Kawhi. He went out and put up 50 points, and he is rewriting, I think, the story of Jaylen Brown. Everybody thought he might be good. He's having career highs in scoring and assists and shooting percentage. And he has the Celtics headed towards a top seed in the East, all with a roster that was torn down around him. Jaylen Brown is indeed an MVP candidate, as Drake May told us last week.
Did anybody, and I mean anybody, there's that new piece that just came out in the in the Athletic talking about the best teams in the East, and the Celtics, best team in basketball. The Celtics, I think, are fourth, and it's because of how well Jaylen Brown is playing, likely, and what that is doing for each and every other member of the team, and how much better Mazzulla is coaching. But the fact that he's on a national stage like that, or at least with big, bright Hollywood lights, at the fanciest new stadium in all of professional sports, drops a 50 spot in front of a bunch of expatriated Celtics fans living in Tinseltown is just wild. And I would like to, on behalf of maybe the listening audience, but I'll just speak for myself first and maybe some of the other Jadrules on this program. When I say, when you started chest thumping and wearing your JB jersey and saying he was going to be a star this year and watch out, and you know, it's almost not fair because he doesn't have enough talent around him, but that's okay. He won't make excuses. He has done everything and then some. The dude now is a star, and there is not a single reason why anyone in this town should either A, not appreciate him to a greater extent than ever before, and B, find fault in his game, even if sometimes it does look like he's going to dribble the ball off each and every foot.
Dan Ball, I was wrong about Jaylen Brown.
You were?
Yeah, because I'll be honest, he's better than I thought he was going to be this year. I didn't think he would be this good. I thought there would be more struggles.
22-12.
The team is good. He is good. He is the leader. He even had comments last night talking about distractions and, you know, people talking about his twitches and how he believes that the streaming is the wave of the future and old school meat. Like, I don't know. I am just honestly, as good as I thought he would be, he's far outperformed what I thought he could be. Like, I wanted him to be an MVP candidate because of what he's doing. You know, we talk about Drake May doing more with less. He's doing more with less. They tore the team down around him, said, here's the ball. Can you go make us be good? And he's making them be good. He's shooting more than ever because obviously that's his role as the centerpiece. But it's 2-point shots, and those 2-point shots are through the roof with his shooting percentage. He's having a masterful career year.
And I think the main difference, too, is can he be a number one on a team in the NBA? I think you would have said yes. I think a lot of people would have said yes. But there's a big difference. There's a big difference between, well, yeah, but there's a big difference between being a number one on the Washington Wizards and being a number one on a team that has a chance to compete for a spot in, at very least, an Eastern Conference final. In an East that is relatively weak compared to the massive growth and talent that you've seen in the West. But yeah, this is a guy that seems to be a number one that can handle a playoff team and potentially a playoff win. We'll see what happens when the time comes. But to do all this without having Tatum's version of the Robin to the Batman, which is Jaylen Brown, he doesn't have anything close to that, and he's still doing this.
Well, I think this begs the ultimate question, which is obviously going to be a huge topic for the weeks leading up to it, and then ultimately once it happens. How are they going to play, and what is going to be the offense, and who's going to cater to or defer to who when Tatum comes back? Because if you're winning two out of every three games, I had him at 46 and 36. Now I'm wondering if, just much like with the Patriots, when I only had them at 10, then ultimately 8 wins, are we not giving the Celtics enough credit? Are they going to be a 50-plus win team even without Jason Tatum? How do they handle the return of one of the best players in the NBA when his Scottie Pippen, if you will, is balling out like a madman?
If Joe Mazzulla is the coach he's supposed to be, which I think Dan Ball might question whether he's the coach he's supposed to be, and if Jason Tatum is the player and teammate he's supposed to be, it won't be a problem. Because Jason Tatum will return in a complementary role. There'll be some minutes limitations, and he will get in where he fits in on, for this year, for the 2025-2026 season, he'll get in where he fits in on Jaylen Brown's Boston Celtics. I actually think
that for the remainder of this year or going forward?
No. That's the big question.
Yes.
After whatever happens, I love your optimism, Dan Ball. They go to the Eastern Conference Finals, but they just can't quite do it.
Yeah.
They're a little undermanned.
You get the Knicks again.
Yes.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Then what happens?
Right.
Jason Tatum says, you know what? Those 15 minutes a game I played over the last 2 months, I feel really good. I'm back, baby. I'm ready to be JT. I'm the guy with the sneaker. I'm the Jordan brand guy. I'm the Olympian. This is my team again. And Jalen's like, excuse me. I just averaged 30 points per game. How many times has that been done in Celtics history? I just carried this bag of bums. Sorry, guys. No disrespect. Didn't know you were in the room. This bag of bums to the playoffs and the top of the Eastern Conference.
Oh, now he said it again, though.
I, that's where I think it gets interesting. Is JB like, oh, okay, JT, you're back. I'll go back to scoring 22 a game. That's what I want. I'll go back to letting you have all the shots at the end of games. I'll go back to everybody bowing down to JT, who's the next great one, even though, I don't know, my trophy case looks pretty nice, too.
All right, don't make us not now root. Don't make us now root against him, my God. It is so 34 minutes a game, 30.1 points, 51% field goal percentage, but he's got that nice elbow jumper, and he likes to take more twos than
it's
threes.
It's the best shot in basketball, his elbow jumper, and I know the quant people, Dan, will tell me it's the dumbest shot in basketball. I love it.
37% from three. He's shooting better from the charity stripe now. 70. He's got his charity stripe up to 78%. That's better. He's a career like 70%, so he's up a little bit. That's a positive.
No, but with the game
that
on the line,
oh,
knowing
I
have to
hands
come in here, I'm like, please hit it, please hit it. Why are you going one of
six,
two? The game's
rebounds
over if you hit two. Why are you going one of two?
Five assists, one steal, half a block. All right, the question does need to be asked. Is he playing at an MVP level?
Absolutely. I think you say MVP candidates. It starts with Jokic, because I say you can give that to him every year. Although injured, that could help him. Jaylen Brown being the him I'm talking about. If Jokic is injured, SGA as the reigning champion, defending champions, their record is phenomenal. And then I think you say Jaylen Brown is third on the list, in my opinion.
It's the age-old debate of, okay, so is it the best player and the most skilled player, the best player and the best team, or the guy who is legitimately the most valuable to your team?
Or correct, the guy that deserves a lifetime achievement.
Right, exactly. And we're having that exact same conversation about Drake May right now. Most valuable to their team versus best player on the best team.
If Jaylen Brown is not on the Boston Celtics right now, they're a lottery team.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
And I think you, If Jaylen Brown's not on the Celtics,
team. Do they win a game?
And Tatum is on the Celtics. I don't think they're as good as they are right now. Now, I don't know if they would have torn it down in the same way. I don't know what this bridge year would have looked like. I think Jaylen Brown is doing more with this team than Jason Tatum would do for this team. And that's where people are going to be like, Andy, I was with you, but you went too far. Stop it.
All these takes, they're like, we give you the rope, and instead of just like being glad that you have the rope, you start fashioning new nooses and you tie it around your ankles and you figure out ways to make a mess of it. He's having a phenomenal season. We're all on board. This is the highest hit, even after he hit the shot against Indiana, even after he won Eastern Conference Finals MVP, even after he won NBA Finals MVP. I would say this is the most popular and appreciated he has been in the city of Boston. And I better not read any burners saying Jaylen Brown is still the most disrespected athlete in Boston. Stop that. He's not.
He's not. Well, as long as Andy Hart keeps touting those compliments, then he won't be. But in the meantime, we'll put a pin in that one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Jones and Keith, WEEI. It is time for Pure Hoops with Terp, Justin Turpin of WEEI, joining us here in studio on Jones and Keith. What's up, Terp?
What's up, guys?
Hello, hello. Celtics are up in the standings.
Look at these guys.
Number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference at 23-12. Terp, they have the best scoring differential in the East. They've won 4 straight. They've won 8 of their last 10. They have, is it the Nuggets tonight? No Jokic? It's Nuggets,
no Jokic,
right?
Yeah. Nuggets, no Jokic.
What a bummer.
Yeah, it really is.
It is, because that could have been like a fun measuring stick game tonight. But obviously, they're playing well. What do you attribute the turnaround, if you will, to?
I mean, I'd look at just everyone collectively finding their stride. And this, for this team and the roster that they have right now, I feel like there's kind of, it's tough to get everyone to buy in on being unselfish and really buying into just the wins. Because looking up and down the roster, everyone has something to prove, right? Jaylen Brown wants to prove he can be a number one, can lead a team. Josh Minot, Jordan Walsh, those guys, Luka Garza, Namias Keita, they're playing for what's next in their NBA lives. Like, they're playing for their careers. And no one's getting selfish. No one's playing in ways that they shouldn't. Everyone's just playing within the offense, playing within the system, and it's resulting in this. So the unselfishness of this team has really, really jumped out to me.
All right, what's the ceiling now?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the Eastern Conference is bad, man. It's like really bad. There's no reason this team should be the 2 seed in the East. I mean, we were talking top 6 at the beginning of the year, but I don't think anyone expected them to be second in the East. Maybe Jaylen Brown, Joe Mazzulla, and Derek White.
Those three guys. We can do it.
And Peyton Pritchard. Those are the only ones. Yeah. Like, nobody expected them to be here, but it's kind of similar. Just how it's crazy how similar the AFC when you're talking about the Patriots and like how wide open it is. It's kind of the same conversation with the Celtics and how open it is in the Eastern Conference. So, I mean, I don't see why not. Like, I don't see why they couldn't represent the East, because there's just no team that you look at. It's like, this is the clear cut number one team in the East.
So it's Pistons, Celtics, and Knicks at the top. Outside of that group, and really, you know, Detroit and New York for the Celtics, is there another team where, like, they're a sleeping giant, or you're kind of waiting for them in the Eastern Conference to figure things out, and maybe they're hidden in the standings a little bit?
I mean, Cleveland was the one that we were holding on to. But they might not be good.
A lot of people liked Orlando coming into the year. A lot of people like Atlanta coming into the year. Now they're blowing things up and getting rid of Trae Young,
Long
which will probably help. Yeah. But you think it's obviously Cleveland. Okay.
I think it would have to be Cleveland. I mean, Philadelphia, but you just never know with them. They're kind of a mess. Joel Embiid really can't stay on the floor. When he's on the floor, they're good. But probably Cleveland would be the answer. But you keep waiting for them to figure it out. Like, we're into January now, and they're still just a mess.
As a brief aside, you mentioned Trae Young. Where do you think he goes, and does it even matter? Like, good player, fun player to watch. It scores a lot of points. Obviously not great on defense, and you can kind of take advantage of that. Good teams have always taken advantage of that. But do you think he plays a factor at all in changing the landscape of, let's say he stays in the Eastern Conference? Does it matter?
I like the team that Mark Stein first reported, the Wizards. It makes so much sense. Let him go there, score 50 points a game, and you get to lose every game.
Sell
but he's
tickets.
Scoring 50 points a game. Doesn't have to play any defense. Helps him get a pick. It's also still young-ish where he can kind of develop it with Alex Saar and a core there. I think it would make a lot of sense for him to go there, especially in the short term. Like, just let him go out. All he wants to do is play offense and score points. You don't have to play a lick of defense there. They're trying to lose, so go for it. That makes a ton of sense.
Let's say the Celtics want to trade for him. Okay, what would you give up for him?
I mean, I wouldn't trade for him. I wouldn't want him anywhere.
You wouldn't give up a second-round pick for Trae Young? What would you give up is what I'm saying.
I mean, it's going to probably be a couple first, I would imagine. Just look at the landscape of the NBA trades. Like, Mikal Bridges went for, five picks, 2 years ago? That's just the way the NBA works. Yeah. So I would imagine there are first-round picks involved in that, but it's just tough because they didn't extend him. So he's going to be due for the contract, and you're going to have to do that. It's an extreme example, but the Mavericks traded out Luka Doncic because they didn't think he could play defense. They didn't want to make him one of those highest-paid players. Is a team going to be willing to do it with Trae Young? I mean, no one will argue that he's not one of the best offensive and gifted scorers in the league, but you got to play defense. You got to be a two-way player.
Here's the only reason I ask that, because if he's really going to go for, nothing, he's better than Simons. So, I mean, I don't know that he'd buy into, a Simons role. I don't know how much Simons buys into the Simons role these days. But, if he's really going to go for nothing and you can get him on the cheap, maybe that's something they should be kicking the tires on. I hope they're looking to add instead of subtract, which is still my fear, that they're going to subtract that Simons contract off the books, and that's their plan on a team that is clearly worth investing in. That'd be wildly disappointing, but I'm bracing for it.
And something we've been talking about this since Anthony Simons got here is that luxury tax number, $40 million if they do keep the roster as to what it is. I think everyone looking at this team, you're second place in the Eastern Conference. This team is totally worth paying the tax. They have a chance. We were just saying, what is their ceiling? You really can't put a ceiling on this team. So this is absolutely a team that you should be willing to pay the luxury tax for. And with Anthony Simons, too, he looks like a guy that can contribute. If he wants to continue to adjust to this role, and he's been much better. I mean, he's quietly put together a really good season off the bench. He's third in points, first in threes, first in net rating among guys with 30 games. I wrote about this the other night. It's kind of under the radar what he's been doing, and it's been really elevated since really December 1st, where he's been getting more 20 minutes a game, playing a little bit more because the defense is really coming around. And I think the sequence the other night, where he hits his eighth three of the night, comes back, and then helps Derek White steal the ball. That was the Anthony Simons that the Celtics were looking for. And the more and more he resembles that, it's more all right, I'd like to see this guy with Jason Tatum. And looking ahead to next year, obviously he's an unrestricted free agent. If you can get him at the mid-level, right around $14 million, I would totally take him back.
Yeah, because what's the market going to be for Simons?
I think it was pretty telling over the summer.
Yeah.
You think he'll take
mid-level, though?
I think it's going to be that much.
Well, the mid-level is a lot higher now.
Yeah,
right,
it
than
is.
What it used
so it'd be around $14 million. But
what's he making now?
Right around 25, 26. Right, it's going to be a significant cut.
No,
he has a choice.
But that's he's going to be making almost half of what he was making.
But
do you think teams are going to start to be a little smarter with who they give money to? Because I think in the NBA, where teams have really run into issues is, you have your rookie year deal guys. You have your veteran minimum guys. Then you have your superstars. If you overpay the middle guys, that's when you really run into trouble. So I wonder.
Yeah, but then there's also crappy teams that have no. If the Wizards don't get Trae Young, for instance, could they just be we're going to give this guy $20 million a year and he's just going to be the guy who scores points?
There's a lot of dumb teams.
I think the market spoke for itself over the summer, where the reporting was they were trying to trade him for most of the summer. And there were no bites, and he's on an expiring deal. That's something, as a shooter and a scorer the way he is, he's one of the most gifted scorers in the league, and there was no interest. So I think that really speaks to just the market of where he is, and I don't think it's crazy to think they can get him back at the mid-level next year. Now, that complicates things for what you want to do when acquiring a center and all that, but I think there are other avenues.
Yeah, so what would be the ways to get a big man on this team without getting rid of Simons? Because that seems like the obvious, hey, that's a good amount of money and maybe and some value to a team that would take him for the rest of the year. But how could you get somebody that can play along with Kata without giving up Simons?
I think then you'd look at Sam Hauser. And okay. I I was really against trading Sam Hauser in the summer. I thought that was a guy that they should hang on to. Just looking at the two-man lineup, the lineups with Hauser and Tatum are one of their most efficient.
He plays great with Tatum.
It's so hard to find a shooter with, shoots consistently 40% from three. Like, that is such an asset.
Because as soon as you lose Hauser, you'd be like, they need a guy like Hauser. Yeah. You know, like, that's the problem.
Especially when, like, they prioritize spacing the floor. Like, he is an elite floor spacer. He plays well with those guys. But with the developments of Jordan Walsh and Hugo Gonzalez and Baylor Shireman in a smaller role there, I feel like he's a little bit more expandable now, where you're a little bit more open to trading Sam Hauser.
Those are different skill sets, but it's a similar role.
Right, yeah. Right. Just you have a bunch of wings right now, and I think if you are going to cut bait with any of them, and the one problem is, though, if the risk that you run is obviously you don't have any control over Simons this offseason. He's an unrestricted free agent. So, if you're going to trade Hauser and then he ends up walking away, I think that's a little bit risky, but I don't know. I mean, there are different avenues. The buyout market will be one as well, but I would expect them to make a move for a big at the deadline.
Okay, you just answered what I was going to ask. So are they going to invest, and where are they going to invest? You think, because like buyout scrap heap, I don't count. That's not investing. That's bringing in a body, but that's not
Torrey Craig last year.
Yeah, that's not investing.
They had that run, remember? So like they hit so well with P.J. Brown, Sam Cassell, the year they won the title in 2008, and then after that, they had a string of like Troy Murphy's.
Thank you. Remember I was about all these to say guys? Austin Crozier. I knew it wasn't Austin Crozier.
No.
Troy
it was like
Murphy.
Troy Murphy. Yeah. I think, Nenad Krstić was a trade, but it was like all guys like that they kept bringing them one after the other,
they
and
might,
you're like, oh,
they
no.
They might add a guy and he might be helpful. I'm just saying that's
Luke Herangode.
That's not investing. You know what I mean? You think they're going to invest at the trade deadline?
I do. I don't think the luxury tax will be an issue, and I don't think the first apron
will be
an
issue.
Why do
you think that, though? Because it's been an issue since the second the new ownership group got here.
Well, I think the second apron and the luxury tax conversations are different, though. Like, that was going to happen. The second apron was going to happen. Then that was talked about. Wick Rosbeck talked about it on these airwaves.
Tim Bontemps wrote yesterday, like, the main thing they got to do is get below the luxury tax.
Yeah, I think this team, I think going into the year, you could totally look at it and be like, okay, if they're faltering out a little bit, say, they were towards the bottom of the play-in, then it's like, all right, maybe you start to reset the repeater tax and you want to get out. But with the way they're playing right now, again, there's no ceiling. I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
I really don't.
They might invest, Keith, but I bet Chisholm hates every minute of this.
Yeah, I bet we're getting a little.
I'll tell you, it was freezing in there. I don't think the heat was on, and I think that's a tell that they're getting ready.
They're getting ready to do it. I bet the new owner just hates this. He's like, wait a minute, I thought we were going to be like the 9 seed, and then I could get rid of Anfernee Simons' contract, and no one would care, and no one would be paying attention. And now it's like, oh wait, we're the 2. Yeah. I kind of have to invest. Crap, I got to spend more money. Like, I think that's kind of the stance, to be honest.
So I agree with you what you were saying before about how wide open the Eastern Conference is, and you look at the Pistons and the Knicks, and even if you want to say they're better, they're not light years better by any stretch. Is there a guy, and Trae Young's not it, but is there somebody that could be traded to one of those two teams or traded to Cleveland or something that where like that would tip the scales?
See, the thing is with the big trades, and it feels so like
Giannis.
I'm wondering. Like, and how likely would it be if New York puts a package together and gets Giannis, and then you're like, all right, they're going for it, and then they would be the team to beat. But like, how likely are any of those?
It's tough now with the aprons, and it's weird to say this after Luka Doncic gets traded last year, but a lot of these big trades now happen in the offseason because there's so many moving parts with all the aprons and stuff. It's tough to get those done during the season.
That one got a GM fired a month later, so that was not a good move.
You're going to kind of fall back on that, but that was one of the worst trades in the history of sports. That was brutal. Yeah.
But to me is like the key to the Celtics, because I'm with everybody else. It's like, hey, it is open. They have a chance. They also are likely going to be getting Jason Tatum back. But then things change if it's like, oh, Giannis just got dealt. You're like, oh.
Yeah, the Giannis one in particular, I would expect that to happen over the offseason. I don't think that's something that happens in the middle of the season. I don't really see, besides Trae Young, any big names going.
Like all-star type guys.
Yeah, not this year, not at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Again, just because of all the moving parts with all the aprons. But, I mean, there are certainly moves you can make around the edges that give you a better chance, but there's no player they're going to add at the deadlines that's better than Jason Tatum, and I think that's the number one thing to remember.
Well, and if there's no big landscape shifting move, then the Celtics should be in it no matter what, right? If Giannis moves to the Knicks, that shifts the landscape, but if there's no move like that, Trae Young's the biggest name to move.
What about Jones's guy, Nurkic? Could they get Nurkic?
Nurkic would be a lot of fun. I think the one that people keep going back is Zubac and with the Clippers.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one that people go back to, and I think that one would make a lot of sense. But the thing is, they're starting to play a little bit better, and there's no incentive for them to tank or anything because they don't have any picks.
Right. So, no, they got to max out what they can get.
Where are they? Oh, yeah, they're 13 and 22.
Well, they started. It doesn't look good, but they had six wins like 2 weeks ago.
I was going to say, they started like 6-21 or something.
Can you dig out of that? They're still 9 games below 500.
Yeah, but you can get into the play-in.
Top 10.
Just get into the how far are they from 10 game playoff.
From the 10 seed, there's still 3.5 games.
Yeah, looking at the raw numbers, they're not a good basketball team. But if you look at what they've done recently, even before they played the Celtics, like, they were the hottest team in basketball leading up to those 2 weeks. So
I'm sorry, I was looking at the Jazz. They're 2.5 games. I take that back.
They got a chance.
So maybe because they're playing better, I wonder if they're more inclined to hold on to their guys.
Nurkic is the guy.
I'm sorry, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, and I mean, I know it's crazy to say that they're playing better when they're sitting here well under 500, but yeah, they were so bad. So I would wonder if they are more inclined to keep their guys.
We were, and the Clippers are a good jumping off point for this, because Keith and I were going through Jaylen Brown's comments about being the best two-way player in the league, and we kind of hone in on, like, it's Jaylen or Kawhi, and oh, by the way, Jaylen just dropped 50 on him and held him in check when they played. Is Jaylen Brown, does he have a real case to be the best two-way player in the league?
Yeah, I mean, right now, absolutely. I mean, what he's doing this year is just incredible. And I think the 50-point game really kind of spoke to the way he's playing, because usually when guys have 50 points, they're shooting like 8 of 13 from 3 or whatever. It wasn't that. It was just the way that he typically plays the game. So I thought that 50-point game was very just it told the story of his whole year, just playing within the game, just making the right basketball plays. And, I mean, just every night he's given them a chance. And you can't say enough good things about the seasons that he's having on both ends of the ball. Obviously, he's passed a little bit of the defensive responsibilities off to guys like Jordan Walsh and Hugo Gonzalez, where he's not picking up the best guy on the floor every night. But it'd be kind of unfair to expect him to do that when he's going out and averaging 30 on the other end. So it's just been a monster year from him, and it's been pretty special to watch.
The NBA fan voting is in the books. Jaylen Brown finished 6th in the Eastern Conference. So he's not the most popular player, but it's also not bad. It's not like he got buried in there by any means.
You think Celtics fans are letting him down with the vote at all there?
A little bit. I mean, yeah. I feel like the season he's having,
he's clearly a lot higher than that. But a couple of guys, what was it, Mitchell and Cade Cunningham?
Yeah,
and
guys like that. I mean, Brunson, guys like Mitchell specifically, he should be ahead of.
I mean,
a guy
you're talking about being a potential MVP candidate, I feel like should be higher.
Probably be starting
also,
the All-Star
game. Feel like,
where are the Celtics fans with the vote? Where are your people, Turk?
The Patriots were trying to rile him up the other day. Did you see that? They quote tweeted and they're like, go out and help Jaylen.
Well,
the
Celtics
doing their job.
They didn't have anybody else in the top 20. So it's not like one
they
of
shouldn't.
Those.
Oh, like they're splitting the vote? Yeah.
No. I'm not even saying like they have another top 20 player, but it's like you think of the Celtics as like one of the best fan bases and all that. You know what I mean? Like you'll see teams like, you know, like
Derek White was one that I would expect to like get
maybe,
a vote. Just
maybe
like
be in there. He's on Team USA for God's sakes. You think maybe he'd get a sniff. But
his best way, I don't know if he'll ever make an All-Star game. I'd like just with
they only have one
All-Star.
There.
They only have
on
one All-Star.
Team.
I know we picked them before the season. You know what? If he hadn't started off the first like
that's
month
true.
And a half of the season, he would have had a legit case. Like if you narrow down what he's done after the first month and a half, he's been very good. But I think his best avenue to making an All-Star game would be through the coach's vote right there. Because any coach that comes here just talks so highly of Derek White. They're all like, he's a winner. He's a player that everyone wants on their team. That would be his best avenue to making an All-Star game.
What do you think of Jaylen? You know, I'm the best two-way player, shaking my head when he's not the Eastern Conference Player of the Week or Month or whatever that was. Just some of his injecting himself into that, like hyping himself up effectively. Keith and I were disagreeing on this yesterday. Keith, your stance is if he doesn't do it, no one's going
to
do it on his behalf.
Yeah.
My stance is like, don't be that thirsty. You don't need to be that thirsty. So where do you stand on that?
I just think he's walking the talk. Like he should have won it. It's crazy to me that
he's not wrong. Does he need to be?
He's always
talking
been,
about it to prop himself up.
I mean, if you're playing the level he is, and he's always kind of been like this. I think it's more this year, and it's getting more attention this year because obviously of what he's doing. He's on the Twitch streams and all that. It's getting more attention. But he's always kind of been very confident in himself. He's always given himself his credit, and you know he's walking the talk. Like he's going out and he's doing this. He probably should have won it again. One of the biggest glaring, you know, omissions and when they were talking about the Eastern Conference Player of the Month debate, like when they played head to head, Jaylen had 42, Jaylen Brunson had 15. Like, you know, that should count for something. And I understand that they won the NBA Cup and he won the NBA Cup MVP, but like those games don't even count towards like stats like in the regular season. So I think he should have won it. I don't have a problem with how vocal he's been. He's always been like this, and you know, he's earned the right to go out and say it.
You think there's any issues when Tatum comes back?
No, not at all. I think we've talked about this. I think this is one of the best things for him because now he's seeing the game in a different light. He's seeing what
So that to me would be like the best case is he's like, I've now proven what I am without Tatum, and he's just satisfied with that. My fear is he doesn't seem satisfied with a lot. I don't know why he'd be satisfied with sacrificing that spot.
I thought it was because it was pretty telling when he's like, this is my favorite season.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay.
I also think it goes back to what we were just saying, though. Like, he's always viewed himself like this.
Yeah.
Like, this for him is not a surprise. Maybe other people are there like, oh, like, Jaylen Brown can really do that. Like, he's really like that. But for him, he's always viewed himself like this. So the whole notion that when he comes back, they won't be able to coexist, I don't buy his
head. I'm sure they'll be able to coexist, but I just wonder for him, will it be difficult to kind of give up anything? You know, like
he's difficult for Pippen with Jordan, and Jordan's way better than Tatum.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes back to that sacrifice thing. He's also honed on that for a while. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, I've been having a sacrifice since I've been here. Like, it's nothing new. They've been teammates for almost a decade now. They've figured it out.
And I know, this is new. Like, what he's doing is
he
new without Tatum.
This many games without him.
Right. I just don't think, I think the important thing is that he's always known he was capable of this. Like, to him, nothing changes because he's known he can do this. Externally, yes, people are looking at it that way, but I don't think he feels any different than he did last year. Like, he's just always viewed himself as this type of player. Just because he's putting it up now, he's proving it to other people, but he didn't have to prove it to himself.
Okay. Pure Hoops with Justin Turpin every Wednesday at high noon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
One briefcase, one moment, could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Last night, probably one that Joe Mazzulla and the Celtics would like to have back. Mm-hmm. You lose to the Nuggets without the Joker. You struggled a little bit against the lowly Bulls when it came to that game this week. So, I don't know. Hard to say anything bad about the Celtics the way they've been playing. The argument really bothers me that reintroducing Jason Tatum to this group is somehow going to disrupt it and going to be. Have you seen this argument that's floating around with people?
No, like, I haven't seen this one. Who was saying? Is it just fans or is it actual basketball heads?
It's guys, some guys who have played the game and who have podcasts who are saying that it's going to be an issue when Jason Tatum comes back. Like, give me a break.
It won't be an issue, but it'll be definitely be something that's different because, you know, Jaylen is now the ball dominant guy. And then when Jason Tatum comes back, who becomes the ball dominant guy? Because remember, this team doesn't have like a real true point guard. So if Jaylen is a ball dominant guy now, where when before it was Tatum, right? Think about how much Tatum had the ball in his hand trying to create. Now Jaylen has the ball in his hand trying to create and do other things. You're just going to have to introduce like, okay, how do we make sure we're not going to Jaylen? All right, we're sitting here watching you be ball dominant. Jason, we're sitting here watching you be ball dominant. Like, I think you just have to kind of figure out that healthy balance.
I also think with the type of injury that Jason Tatum's coming off of, I'm no doctor, but I'm assuming that as he gets reintroduced to the court, like, you're not going to see the same Jason Tatum who is the main ball handler when it comes to this Celtics team. Like, I do think that Jaylen Brown still is going to have a massive role in that as he adjusts to get back. So I don't think it's going to be a competition, is what I'm trying to say, coming out of the gate of Jason Tatum is the main guy. Or Jaylen Brown is
the main guy. But remember, The thing about them two, they're so close and they're like, they're the way they play the position. It's not like Tatum's a big man, mm-hmm. so he doesn't have the ball all the time, or, you know, the way that they play, their styles, like you see them, they are very, you know, just ball dominant now. Now you just have to figure out, if you're Joe Mazzulla, how do we make sure we don't get back to a game where, all right, we're just all standing around mm-hmm. watching one of the two superstars kind of try to do their own thing.
All right, well, Celtics lost last night. That loses the 2 seed for them.
Well, Celtics lost last night to the Nuggets, but Jaylen Brown still put up 30 points in that game. He has been awesome of late, and it's catching the eye of one Draymond Green. Here's Draymond Green here to tell you just how good Jaylen Brown has been.
When he said I'm the best two-way player in the world, I get what he was saying, but he's playing so great offensively. He should just be talking about who's the best player in the NBA right now, because that's the type of basketball Jaylen Brown has been playing. He's been up there right at the top of the NBA. I'm not sure how he hasn't moved into the top three of MVP voting, because if you would have told me the Boston Celtics were going to be sellers and see Jason Tatum, their franchise player, go down with an Achilles injury, and essentially say, we're going to use this next year to reset our cap, which, like, isn't quite exactly throwing in the towel, but it's definitely not like, yo, we're going to be competing at a high level. But due to the play of Jaylen Brown, they have been competing at a very, very, very high level, and they're sitting top four in the East. I don't think anyone foresaw that. So with that being the case, that has to count for something for Jaylen Brown, and he's been amazing.
True. I mean, Wiggy, would you go so far as to say best player in the NBA so far this season?
I would say he is right up there. I still would say SJ, but another guy who's having an unbelievable year is Luka Doncic with the Lakers. So I think it's those three. I would say I'd give the edge to Luka and Jaylen only because SGA has a better team around him. But Jaylen, I kind of agreed with everything Draymond Green was saying, is that he is spectacular. If it's up to me who I think would be the MVP, I would think it'd be between him and Luka Doncic.
Okay. Well, you will eventually get Jason Tatum back.
Yeah.
And they're talking All-Star break is when that happens.
And
so.
And like I said, what do they do on the trade? One guy I'd love to see, and I know this is kind of weird, but I think this might help the Celtics, and they're ready to move on from him, is LaMelo Ball down in Charlotte. Because he's a legit point guard.
Yeah.
He's a legit point guard, and it's not about scoring for him. I think if they had the point guard, this team would be able to even open it up to another level, because then you wouldn't have to worry about Jaylen and Jason being ball dominant.
I saw some insider whisper that the getting out of the first apron thing is off the table now with Bill Chisholm. Do you buy that?
I mean, there were also whispers that they're interested in Zubac. I think he's out in the Clippers.
Do you believe
like
his philosophy may have changed?
No.
You don't?
Nope.
I mean, if he sees an opportunity to win, maybe it has.
Right.
At least slightly.
Huh. Well, that's what I would think. Doesn't he see that?
You think they're going to go to the second apron?
I mean, if he's looking.
Oh,
I see.
I would bet anything.
I see him at every game.
I don't know. He's into it.
He is into it. And he knows, like, if we all sit here and know, like, they could be the best team coming out of the Eastern Conference, or they could beat anybody. How does he not see that?
We need a honk horn.
Oh, but how would you not see that?
Play Wick Grosbeck in the studio to us about it.
That's Wick, but Wick is no longer the owner.
This is after he was no longer the owner, saying that not only will the Celtics not, no team would.
Right, but I think that's before they realize, like, wait a second, we could make a legitimate run at this.
The whole thing again.
Yeah, we could make a legitimate run at this.
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay. All right, that's They Said It. The news with Courtney coming up next. Has anyone seen a slightly used walrus penis? We'll get to that news and the rest of the news next.
You're listening to The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.